T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
When I say, should we bring our swimsuits? You say, well, yeah, weather permitting.
With Dusty Hera.
I didn't get into college. Check me out. I'm kick-ass.
And Cam Cleland.
I almost joined a frat in college myself, but they tried to make me chug a 40.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Put my nuts on the table, and then I did the damn thing.
Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Just after 6 o'clock, you have a good weekend?
Welcome to Monday.
Did you get outside?
Use that word happy as in, but it is a happy. What? It's a happy Monday.
It is.
Boy, the weather's been
Did you get outside and enjoy it on Saturday?
I think all of us got a lot of stuff done. I want to know if anybody got some work done. Just sat inside and watched. No, this was a working weekend. You know how we play working for the weekend?
Yes.
No, we were working this weekend.
Not me.
You didn't get outside at all?
Well, yeah, I did. That doesn't mean I was working.
Well, that's
I was
just
enjoying,
getting outside.
I was enjoying the outdoors. It was like 63 degrees. It was like shorts weather. I was working on my dad bod tan.
That's what I'm saying. When we're working, it means we're out. We're out and about. We're moving around.
Oh, no.
Not sitting around doing nothing inside the house.
I was just doing yard work. I was outside and enjoying sunshine, man. It was fantastic. It was really warm. And then on Saturday evening, wife and I got a wild hair. We're like, hey, let's go up to the mountain. I think that this needs to be discussed a little
bit more. Which mountain is
that? Mount Hood.
Okay.
We went up and stayed up on Saturday night up at the mountain. It was nice. And then we went out and we were like, we're going to take the kids tubing. There's like no snow on Mount Hood.
Really?
We went up past like meadows and you're driving. As you go up the mountain, you're expecting ice on the road, stuff like that.
It melted.
Yeah, we came down from Hood River, so you pass meadows on the way down to Ski Bowl where they're tubing. Nothing. They were making snow, fake snow on Ski Bowl. None of the lifts are open on Ski Bowl.
It all melted already, huh?
I don't think they've just really had any snow up there. Oh. It was all fake snow. It was fun. We still went tubing, and it was great.
Fake snow and the snow machines they got going
up
there?
Yeah, the snow machines were blowing the snow out there. And
but it's cold enough so it wouldn't melt, right?
Yes, it was very cold up there still. But it was very odd to see in February a Mount Hood and roads were completely
I'm looking at Mount Hood. There's still snow on Mount Hood.
Well,
but you
got
to go way up there.
Way up there.
Can't get a helicopter up there to go tubing.
I don't think that I've heard some of the snowboarders and skiers at the beginning of the year were sitting there going, nah, it's not that great up there. There's just like no snow. Nobody was up there. It was crazy. It was crazy to see.
Do you find it weird when you go to places when you're driving your car and next thing you know, you're next to somebody and you hear, you know, somebody with snow tires on?
Yeah.
They drive a four-wheel drive car.
Yeah.
Four-wheel drive vehicle.
Right.
And it's 70 degrees out and they still have their snow tires on?
Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense to me.
As they're driving through the parking lot, I'm like, what are you doing?
One of the weather guys.
You have a four-wheel drive vehicle. I get it. Snow tires help you.
Yeah.
Right? We're the capital of Subaru here.
We don't need them.
You don't need your snow tires.
A lot of Subarus on the mountain.
Honestly. We don't live in Minnesota.
No.
I have no idea why anybody would buy snow tires in the Pacific Northwest. Zero knowledge
Well,
for
if
it.
You go up there to the mountain a lot, I guess. And there's a lot of people that do.
Yes.
That do that. They do that.
Yeah.
So I guess, but it does look very odd when they're trucking around Portland.
It ruins the roads.
It does.
It ruins the roads.
That's why we have potholes everywhere.
Yes.
But I saw that one of the weather guys, he tweeted out, hey, if you think that it's time to change your snow tires, say, hey, well, no, not so fast, my friend.
Oh, we're going
to
get snow now.
I guess
I'm
in the next couple of weeks, it's supposed to get cold here, but I doubt it. I'm just going to go ahead and say no. Didn't have to use four-wheel drive once on Mount Hood yesterday.
Good for you.
Well, that's because the roads weren't even, there was no reason to do that.
No.
Oh, man.
Not a snow sport guy.
What did bother me, though, is it was a last-minute trip up there, and on Saturday day, it was so nice, washed all the cars. Cars were looking sparkling clean. And then we go up and we drive up there and it gets
destroyed.
The crap all over.
I made my oldest son get out and detail the cars, wash them down.
Mm.
Here's, you know what?
You make your kid do that, huh?
Of course. Why would I not?
I don't trust them to do that.
Yeah, you know why? I'm trying to teach him how to do things because I told him to use some rags. And I said, just use the rags out there. There's clean rags and do rags. No. He cleaned the entire inside of the car with a wax rag. And so now I have to go through and do it all over. This is what we do as parents.
You don't trust him.
I know. I get that. But he's like, geez, Dad, I thought I did a good job. Yeah, you did. Now the whole inside of the car is waxy.
Mm.
Sticky.
Well,
I know.
That's on you.
You got to teach him something. You got to teach him sometime. I will have labor for the rest of my days. Well, what they're there for. That's why you have children, is labor.
You're actually right on that. That's a great call.
Any parent that doesn't make their kids work is soft. That's what you have kids for.
It is.
Empty the damn dishwasher. Cook some food. Clean my car. What the hell else do you have kids for?
No reason.
None.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
Dang right, you're going to vacuum the house today. What else do you got better to do? Start vacuuming.
Lines better look good on the carpet, too. On this day in sports history, 18 years ago, this is kind of crazy to think he's still playing, but for my money, it was the second best dunk contest I ever witnessed with my own two eyes. It was Vince Carter winning the dunk contest, where he got the bounce from Tracy McGrady, then went between the legs and dunked it, got a perfect 50, and then he sealed it with the elbow dunk, where he jumped up and he was looking down inside the rim and then placed his elbow in. He was a freak of nature, Vince Carter was, and he's still playing in the NBA.
41 Amazing. Years old.
Amazing to think of that. Only that dunk contest, only second to the 1988.
Oh, really? You're calling that
Meek
one?
And Jordan.
Really?
Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan?
Ooh, I don't know, man.
Well, one was better?
Dominique and Jordan is the best.
Well, yeah, that's
you
what
like
I'm saying.
Vince Carter's number two for you?
Yes.
I sure liked the D. Brown and Kenny Skywalker.
1990? Here's where D. Brown doesn't get it for me. He covered his eyes after he was in the air.
Yeah, but that's still, you still got an ear in the air. And he pumped up the Reeboks. The Reebok pumps. Remember? He came out and pumped
them
pump you
up. That's why I was going. All right. On today's show, Case of the Monday, 7:45. What's bothering you, grinding your gears? Go ahead. Send them in. Lane Johnson throws a little shade post-Super Bowl win. He says the Patriot way is based on fear.
Yeah.
You've said that a lot.
Said it since day one.
You've said that quite often. Dame pulls a CJ this weekend, then the Blazers followed up with a... And could Major League Baseball be coming to Portland? One national writer believes so. We'll give you the details on that coming up next. Plus, Winter Olympics, are you watching?
Time to wake up.
Let's talk a little Winter Olympics. They're in full force in Pyeongchang. Germany leads the medal count currently. They have 6 medals, 4 gold, 2 bronze. So they're doing quite well for themselves.
How's that Olympic country doing?
South Korea?
No.
What? Russia?
Yeah. We're calling them the Olympic country.
Yes, those guys. I don't even know how they're doing.
Those cheaters.
I have no idea.
I thought that was strange when you could see the Olympic flag and then you could hear the Olympic song when they win a medal. Let's pretend that this isn't Russia.
Nothing to see here. Right. Nothing to see here. Olympic athletes of Russia have 2 medals.
2 medals.
A silver and a bronze.
Oh, there you go.
The Netherlands is in second place in the full medal count because they dominate speed skating. They have 5 total medals.
Yeah.
And then the United States. Woo! We got our first gold medal. We have 4 total medals. 2 gold, a silver, and a bronze. 17-year-old Red Gerard won the first gold in snowboarding for USA. So he is 5'5" tall and 116 pounds.
Pretty cool watching that. Those jumps like that.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And we got a luge, first medal ever in luge by some guy. Mm. He got a silver. We've never won the luge before.
The single luge? Is that the luge?
Sure, yeah. No, they have the luge where the two people
have a tandem luge, right?
Lie on top of each other. Very odd.
I said wake up!
Hmm.
Do they have
that is true. You know what? That just perked my interest level. I was like, That is right. Hey. They have the tandem luge. Yeah.
Hey, lay on top of me. Let's
when
do
you're
this.
I'm saying, when you're inventing that sport,
yeah.
How do you start with that? Does it start with an inner tube? And you kind of go, hey, let's the tandem inner tube ride. It's like going down the water slide. You have the tandem water slide tube. And you go, let's do this on ice. Hey, let's make this faster. Let's wear tights and let's wear helmets.
Hey, you want to really?
And let's go down ice together.
You really want to take this up a notch? Let's go mixed doubles luge, nude luge. Huh? Mixed doubles nude luge.
Well.
Get some people to watch
I know
that.
There's shrinkage when you get in and out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little cold.
It would be very cold on the ice. What do they call that?
I think that's a sport I would watch and not participate
Never
in.
Do the luge. Never do the skeleton. Actually, I'd do the luge. That'd be fun.
That's dangerous, man.
I would be putting my little feet down.
I'd do the bobsled, but not the luge. I need a little bit of metal between me and those.
Yeah, well.
Ice.
You're not man enough to do it, I guess, you know. 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster arrested for the second time this offseason. In a month span, he has been arrested for weed in Alabama and now was arrested for domestic violence, threats, and possession of an assault weapon yesterday. So not good for the 49ers linebacker. And look, he dropped all the way down in the end of the first round. And, you know, John Lynch said, we got the top two guys on our draft board.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's looking like there's a reason why he was dropping so quickly in the draft, and legal problems were one of them. Not good for Reuben Foster.
No, he's a mess.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Wake the f*** up!
The NBA scoreboard from a night ago. The new-look Cleveland Cavaliers made a statement against the top team in the East. The first game with George Hill, Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, and Rodney Hood saw the Cavs beat up on the Celtics 121-99. They shot 53% from three and got 49 points from their new additions. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd say trade effective or trades effective.
Trades effective. I need now get to used to watching this young group of athletes that are a lot faster.
Mm.
Better on defense.
Well, it turns
out a lot younger.
It turns out LeBron James is still really good when he doesn't have to put the entire team on his back. He had 24 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds, almost dropped a triple-double against the Celtics. Kyrie Irving against his old team had 18 points on 7 of 14 shooting.
Well, I also saw Isaiah Thomas had a pretty good opening.
Yeah, on Saturday he had 22.
22 off the bench, and Dwayne Wade got the biggest ovation ever in the Miami Vice uniforms. He looked good.
Those
his wife's name, sweet. The actress again? You know who I'm talking about.
Gabrielle Union, yeah, from Bring It On.
Yeah, she was down there cheering on hubby.
Mm. Oh, great.
Back in Miami. They sold their house.
One thing of note, that loss by Boston means that the Raptors now take over the top spot in the Eastern Conference after a 123-103 win over the Toronto Raptors. So a new number one team.
We should talk about the Raptors more because
really?
Yeah.
Should we?
I don't know.
No.
Why not?
We have to.
They're always there.
Mm.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Okay, but where we start, the Portland Trail Blazers return home to a thud, falling to the Utah Jazz, and it got ugly in Moda Center last night. It is 6:15 on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Blazers got housed last night by the Utah Jazz, 115-96. Portland falling flat. Was a good first half defensively. You thought that game was going to be as low scoring for both teams as it was for the Blazers. But in the second half, Utah scores 38 in the third, 34 in the fourth quarter, and they end up beating Portland 115-96. But I think the story out of that one is Yusuf Nurkic didn't look right early in the game. And then after 4.5 minutes in the third quarter, he left a lower back soreness and right hip pain for Yusuf Nurkic. Yep. That's got to be concerning when you have a 7-footer who has a history of injury, and then lower back is something that you go, uh-oh, what could be going on with that?
Well, it's a long season for him. It's the first time he's played probably this most amount of minutes in his career. So and he put in a lot of work in the offseason. You got to see him. He worked his butt off physically, be able to handle it. And when you're young, you can, when you're that kind of size, we've seen a lot of big men this year in the NBA get hurt and go down. I mean, from Porzingis, I mean, Rudy Gobert had just come back. All these guys that are hurt this size, you're playing a lot of minutes. It's a lot of wear and tear on your body.
Yeah, and Portland needs him. And we've seen that if you go back to what has plagued Portland, it has been you have consistency in your backcourt with Dame and CJ. You know you can rely on those guys, and you're going to get those guys night in, night out. But it's been that inconsistency from Yusuf Nurkic and then the inconsistency from the bench that has really been the plagued Portland all season long. I mean, it's not just – it's easy to sit there and say, oh, the bench – night in, night out. But when it's kind of the third of your three pillars that you want to build off of, that is the big concern. And he got roasted on social media throughout the game of, oh, here we go. Yusuf not checked into this game. Well, it turns out
he was hurt. Again, if you look at the stat line, like everybody loves to look at, the backcourt of the Blazers is spectacular, 39 and 22. After that, that's it. You lose your starting center. You lose your another option. And somebody has to step up and find a way to points. Bench points were hellacious. This team is the definition. And we're getting into a negative point of view, but the definition of where's the help?
Right.
Somebody, please, somebody step up and help. There was a narrative all the way the last few games. It's like, how are we going to find more space and more time for Mo Harkless? He's worked his way back from a Coach Stotts trying to find an 8-man rotation to a 9. Now Mo Harkless has to get back into the rotation.
You're just throwing up your hands over there.
5 points.
Yeah.
5 points yesterday. Aminu, 8 points. Consistency of sorts. I know it's difficult to have a lot of consistency in this league. The two backcourt players are the most explosive backcourt that Portland has ever had.
Yeah, and you know what?
And that's it.
You know, the problem that I see, though, in the, what kind of I sit there and I keep going back to it is, okay, so you can have those inconsistencies offensively, but on the defensive end, we see the guys that bench scoring is down in the first half. Mo and Aminu are struggling on the offensive end in that first half. You make a difference on the other end of the floor. And in the second half, what Utah shoots 51% from the field, 56% from three, and are getting open look after open look from beyond the arc. You know, find a way to make your presence felt. And we see that. We saw that just last night from the team they're playing. Ricky Rubio's out with an injury, and they get a backup point guard coming in and filling in with Royce O'Neal, who, I mean, I don't know where that guy came from, but he ends up kind of being that guy who he makes his impact felt without scoring a ton of points. They lean on Donovan Mitchell, who goes out. I mean, that guy, if he's not rookie of the year, I don't know who is, with 21 points. This is going to be a scary team, the Utah Jazz. And then you have Joe Ingles just sitting there camped out at three doing heat checks all night long. You know, make your impact felt elsewhere, I think, is where if you can't rely on scoring, that's where it needs to be.
Well, you can't rely on scoring because you only had, I mean, you got out-assisted, you got out-rebounded, you got out-everything.
Yeah.
That's just two guards taking over the game as best as they could because those are your only scoring options in Portland. When there's no inside presence, points in the paint, you got dominated. And I know Rudy Gobert is the Eiffel Tower in there. Should it change how you potentially go to the inside? Well, you don't have any inside presence when Yusuf is out. There's no inside game. There's no back-to-the-basket game. There's no inside-out movement. There's no fast break pressure from this team. It's walk the ball up. It's adjustment. It's run the weave at the top of the key. Get a couple perimeter shots, and then away we go play defense on the backcourt. It's very predictable on what you're seeing week in and week out with this team, and that's the Blazers.
And here we are. And you say you mentioned that points in the paint. What is it? Through three quarters, the Blazers had 10 points in the paint, refusal to go inside against Rudy Gobert. And in the fourth quarter, they get 20 points in the paint when Gobert plays like just a little over half of that fourth quarter. Obviously, they did not want to go in and go at him, but you can't change who you are offensively based on one guy.
You're going to be guard heavy. You're going to be perimeter heavy. You're going to make sure. I wonder if Dame puts up 50 and then he puts up 39. Does he get 50 in a win? Yes. And 39 in a loss and go, what more can I do? There isn't much more you can do.
Well, big picture, though, Utah's won 9 in a row and they're playing really well. And that may be one of the scarier teams in the Western Conference as we come down the stretch here. Not to knock off Golden State or Houston in the first round matchup if they get into one of those 7 or 8 seeds. But Jay Crowder, the addition of Jay Crowder in that lineup, I mean, he looks like he is would feel far more comfortable in Quinn Snyder's system in Utah than he did playing with LeBron. This could be reverting back to Boston Jay Crowder because he fits what they do very well. They went in, they had a lineup on the floor of Derek Favors, Rudy Gobert, and Jay Crowder together with Donovan Mitchell. And I believe it was Neto. But if you have, think of that. If you have Ricky Rubio, Donovan Mitchell, and then those three, that is a scary change of pace lineup to go at from a defensive standpoint. If you could go Favors, Gobert.
Because they're all long.
And Jay Crowder.
You can't get shots up versus that.
That's your kind of defensive stifling.
Well, and they're just good at rebounding. I mean, all three of those guys, those three starters all had 10-plus rebounds. All of them. Yeah. All their bigs did. I mean, you're not getting second opportunities. Nobody's giving you second shots. Ed Davis is the only workhorse down in the paint trying to find some sort of activity. Nobody else is doing it.
I like the way Ed Davis dunks.
Ed Davis is the most physical player other than Dame on this Blazer team.
And unfortunately, I don't think that the Blazers are going to be able to afford to keep him this offseason because of the way that the salary cap, they're in struggles there. And
well, it's congratulations to Ed because he deserves whatever he gets in free agency. I know he's an 8-year pro. Somebody's going to be willing to have him because he's a great bench changeup guy. He's a workhorse. He's somebody that the Blazers could keep, sure. If not, someone's going to overpay him.
Kind of guy you want on your team.
Yep.
As it is, though, the Blazers fall 115-96 to Utah. They are now 31-26 on the season, sitting squarely in the sixth spot as a win last night could have held pace for the 5 seed with Oklahoma City Thunder, but the loss puts them a full game back of OKC. They are still 3 games back of the Minnesota Timberwolves for the 3 seed. And more concerning for Portland is that you're just a game and a half back of being out of the playoffs altogether right now in the Western Conference standings. Well, more on this one coming up next hour. As Damian Lillard, you mentioned, dropped 50 on Friday night, pulls a CJ McCollum, and then the follow-up to the Jazz game. But coming up next, Lane Johnson throws a little shade at the New England Patriots. The Patriot way. Is it a fear-based organization? Here's Joe with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird and desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Fan text line. Lane Johnson is on his Super Bowl tour, doing all the interviews afterwards, and he went on the podcast Pardon My Take, part of the Barstool Sports network. And he said he was asked about the New England Patriots and how he had a comment during Super Bowl week leading up to the media availabilities. He said that he's just glad he's having fun there and the other team isn't. And so he's asked about it. Well, you know, why don't you think the New England Patriots have fun? He said, I just think the Patriot way is a fear-based organization. Obviously, do they win? Hell yes, they win. They've won for a long time. Do I think people enjoy and can say, I've had a lot of fun playing there? No, I don't. That's just the God honest truth. They're successful, but when they go to interviews, they act like bleeping robots. Hey, stop being a blank head. We can be cordial for a little bit. You only get one time to do this job, so let's have fun while we're doing it. Not to be reckless, but I'd much rather have fun and win a Super Bowl than be miserable and win 5 Super Bowls. But hey, it is what it is.
Well, shots fired there. A little bit. So we have the fun police is out. Even the fun police has made their way all the way into professional sports because, heaven forbid, you think you're doing a job. how many of us in the daily workforce, on a daily workforce, have the opportunity to say they get fun every day at their job? Mm-hmm. If you are lucky enough to have that, or one of the few.
Yeah.
What do we do?
We
honestly think about it. I know I have way more fun doing this than I ever did playing football, except on the game day. I've always said during the week, if Very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Very miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Not the greatest feeling. Mm-hmm. Boy, the payoff on Sundays. It was great. This is funny because I know this is happening in today's sports world, trickling all the way down to the youth side. And every time you try to make something, hey, let's put some work in today, guys. Let's try to get better today. Let's look at do things. And then there's the fun police parent or the fun police kids saying, we're not having any fun. Well, you know what? Hard work is not fun. The journey, you ever heard of it? You know, I always say it's always about the journey, but then the payoff is the game or the atmosphere or the championship. Yeah. Would you really trade one Super Bowl run where it really could have it? I had fun for being part of the greatest dynasty in sports history with 5 Super Bowls and being on that organization? I was on a fun organization. It was full of fun and happy people. It was called the Patriots. At the time when I was there, that is the greatest group of guys. That is the tightest-knit group of people, from wives to family to coaching staffs. They made it look like it was miserable, but when you're on the inside and you're a part of that commitment that you do, you have a lot of fun. I was on non-fun organizations that sucked. Saints, some of those things. I've seen guys and teammates and buddies that have come over and go, wow, this place sucks. We're not having any fun. You know what's fun? Winning.
Yeah. Well, there is one thing, though. There's a couple things there to unpack. You mentioned the kids and the fun police parents. I do think kids sports should be fun.
I do too. I do too. But do you, I mean, I do. I, of course they should be fun.
But back to the Patriots thing, what Lane Johnson is saying is that I'd rather have fun and win one than win 5 and be miserable. How many people on the New England Patriots roster have been a part of 5 Super Bowls?
Oh, there's only one.
Well, yeah, it's Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And so I think what he's saying, though, is that like, embrace the ride because you never know if you're going to get here again. You know, Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl as a rookie, never got back there. And I actually thought that was one of the things that was kind of endearing about this Eagles team is that they were loose, man. Mm-hmm. And they looked loose the entire time. And they weren't the buttoned up guys that the New England Patriots are. And how many times have we seen the loose crew get housed in Super Bowls, you know, those loosey goosey guys. I think that was one thing that was endearing about the Eagles this year was that they could be loose and be themselves. But when they got inside the lines, that is a blue collar team that kind of, they're basically Philly. They are Philly.
They're everything Philly. They've adapted everything to them. They're also the Seattle Seahawks of 2014. And
right.
14.
Right.
They're exactly the same. What's sustainable? The sustainability of what Bill Belichick has put together for years. And this isn't a ooh, look at the Patriots. They do that.
Right.
This is more about what other teams and other organizations to be able to have that kind of long-term sustainability of commitment and the discipline. Discipline will carry for years. One-offs, fun, excitement, combination of great players, coaching staffs coming together, your quarterback getting hurt, all those things happening and having your backup guy come and lead you into the pinnacle of championships. Those are one-offs. They happen. The dynasties, the Cowboys with Jimmy Johnson. What did Jimmy Johnson do to the Cowboys? Joe, you know, you were there. No, maybe a little bit. You're a little young. He made those guys, when they asked them, Troy Aikman, what it was like to play under Jimmy Johnson. It was disciplined. It was miserable. Practices were hot. But they're one of the greatest franchises and dynasties ever in the history of sports. You can have a one-off. You can have one of those Barry Switzer one-offs.
Well, I think that the Cowboys were a loose crew, though.
But they were the most, if you ask the reason, if you ever watched the 30 for 30 with Troy Aikman, he said the biggest reason what happened when Barry Switzer took over is because he turned everything into nobody cared anymore. It was like, yeah, do what you want, guys. Let's have some fun. Let's go. Let's relax. Barry right. Switzer, slick. Let's go. Jimmy Johnson was running a tight ship. That's what's sustainability. So this comes down to a personal choice of who you are, which are fine. Fine. You want to be the loosey-goosey, have fun group. Blue collar, represent your city. Sure, that's not going to hold up for 5 Super Bowls. That's going to be a one-off.
But don't you think, though, what Lane Johnson is in, I think, unequivocally, yes, you're right, when you get within the lines. But one thing, though, is that you had Michael Irvin running his mouth, you know, Charles Haley running his mouth in the media and stuff like that. I think that's what Lane Johnson is going at right there. I think no doubt about it. That discipline, when you're practicing in a game, it has to be there. But what he's saying is that they didn't. He's saying they wrote their blanking robots during their interviews, and they weren't allowed to be themselves outside of
this. This is really easy for Lane right now to say it. And the reason why it's so easy for him is because they are the darlings. They're the dog mask wearing guys where everybody is saying the positive things about, look at these upstarts, look at these underdogs. There's nobody saying anything negative about the Eagles because they've done something that nobody's done. They knocked off the champ. They played with a backup quarterback. Everything smells like roses. And you know what happened at the beginning in the careers of all the Patriots? It sounded the exact same. The discipline comes, the defensiveness comes. After you're at top, now everybody's trying to knock you off. Now they're going to go after you next year. You can't hide anymore. The media is going to be scrutinizing you. They're going to look at you. They're going to try to find problems. They're going to try to get inside your locker room. They're going to say, this guy's bad. They're going to pull it to you. And the Patriots figured it out. We're not letting you in. We're not going to give you anything. Eagles, you see in 2 years, you let me know. Right now, as chaotic as that team is, which is good, and I like it. It's good for sports. I love that. You tell me when that locker room starts to fray under the chaos, Seattle Seahawks, watch how that starts to happen. If it does, not great. But if it doesn't, I wouldn't be surprised either way.
55305 is the Patriot way, the only way to build the dynasty in the NFL. 642 on the Fan. Hey, I'm back though for Golden Oak Lending. It's the new year. You give yourself a raise, put more money in your pocket. Golden Oak Lending can save you money. You're sitting on your house. Maybe you've had your house for, I don't know, 10, 15 years now, and you haven't checked what your mortgage payment is and could be right now. Well, the reality is, in this area, home values are up so much, you can put your home equity to work. Give Golden Oak Lending a call, and they'll give you a free mortgage checkup right over the phone. They'll tell you right now if you can save money. It's your chance to lower your mortgage payment. My wife and I weren't sitting on our house for 10 to 15 years. We were sitting on our house for 4 or 5 years, and we gave Golden Oak Lending a call, and we found out that we could be saving $2,400 a year, over $200 a month, right back into our pocket, and you can do the same. Their average cash out customer saves $857 per month with a refi. Golden Oak can tell you right over the phone how much money you can save and lower your monthly payment. Home values up, you can maybe eliminate mortgage insurance, pay nothing out of pocket, and if Golden Oak can't close your loan, the appraisal is no charge. The call is free. You have no risk. Plus, when you close, you'll make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Use all that money to pay off holiday bills. Give Golden Oak Lending a call. Free checkup. No risk to you. 503-455-GOLD. That's 503-455-4653. NMLS 1631-503.
Who let the dogs out?
Hooter, hooter, hooter.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
The party was nice, the party was pumping. Is the Patriot way the only way? Lane Johnson of the Eagles says, hey man, I'd rather be happy and win one Super Bowl than be miserable and win five, but it is what it is. This text, 55305, as much as I despise the Patriots, I can't help but think that a no BS approach is probably the best thing for today's athletes. And on that text, I look at, you know, Rob Gronkowski to me is a guy who his talent level is unquestioned. He's a freak athlete and he would work anywhere. But there is an element of me that goes, if he were to be in, say, Seattle or a place like Philly where he could say wherever, whatever he wants, whenever he wants and act however he wants, his career wouldn't be the same because he would then become even more of a caricature of a football player than he already is in New England. Like he gets to play this big dumb animal, but he doesn't say anything in any of his interviews that he does. He waits till the off season to do that. And he's acts kind of like a clown. And imagine if you were to be able to do that during the season, the distraction that he would provide. That text kind of goes along that line of Gronk is kind of the prime example of the Patriot way benefiting one guy in particular.
Well, is there any places in it for the listeners out there? Here's a fair question. Do you want to have fun all the time, but when you're working towards your goal, or if you have a championship, or you have a sales goal, or anything in your business, and you're generating more revenue, don't you think a little bit of discipline, a little bit of commitment, when he says having fun is that outcome of winning in the end, and especially in sports, it's the competition is why you compete, and then eventually that competition turns into success by winning. There's multiple ways to skin a cat. We do know that in football. But what's the most sustainable thing for sports is a discipline.
Yeah.
There's you use the term loosey-goosey. I don't know if it's loosey-goosey or lack of discipline or guys having fun. What does fun meaning? Fun is winning. Mm. If you're loosey-goosey and you're losing, you're the Browns.
Yeah.
Well, if you're disciplined and you're losing, you turn into who? The Bears. Well, if you're loosey-goosey and or disciplined and you're winning, you're still winning. You're still having fun.
And these are, I mean, this goes back to and solely about Lane Johnson's talking about how they address the media leading up to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's
right,
not.
Because the media is the one we want to be the nicest to.
Well, but the thing about this is that he's saying you don't have to be a blank head when you're, and he's saying we can be cordial for a little bit here and have a little fun with the media as you leading up to the Super Bowl. And that's kind of what the question is and kind of how he framed it, because no doubt about it, Philly is just as disciplined within the practice field and in the practice lines that the New England Patriots are, or they wouldn't be as good as they are as a team. And I think that that's a tough thing to do, is be disciplined and so structured within your game planning and your preparation, and then just be like, all right, right when it's done, turn it off and go
okay,
and have fun.
This, and if you want to trust the media, that's fine. I've sat in both chairs before where I've trusted the media, got to know the guys. Next thing you know, an article comes out against because you had a bad game that you're garbage and you're hot garbage and you're bad.
Yeah.
Every professional athlete's going to go through that. I don't trust any media members when I was a player. I didn't. Now it's different because I don't have to worry about being scrutinized all the time.
And you are a media member.
I am a media member.
Welcome to the media.
But there are people out there that listen to this show every day that say, oh, you're garbage. You're an idiot. You're a blowhard. It's the same thing as being a pro athlete. When you put yourself out there, people are going to scrutinize you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to tell you that you're crappy. They're going to tell you that you suck. They're going to tell you that you're great. The Patriots just chose to say, we're not going to give you anything to say. You can make crap up, but they still have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So if this is a media thing, I'm telling you, that kind of freedom in the locker room where you're free to express yourself, free to be who you want to be, free to say, this is how we do things. We're going to do this. You're going to have that. You're going to have your characters. I love that. But over time, does it hold up to be a great dynasty? It's not proven.
Well,
it hasn't been proven to me yet.
And the closest thing that we've had to a long and sustained run, and it hasn't resulted in multiple Super Bowl championships, is the Seattle Seahawks, right? And what you can take out of it is what New England has done is they've put up this wall where it's not even worth asking the questions anymore, right? Remember when the hit piece came out on the Seattle Seahawks and how Russell Wilson was too white, you know, and how there was dissension between the offense and the defense and all that. Well, the media was like, well, hey, we can just go and ask these guys straight up. Mm-hmm. And the questions were there and they were answering and you were getting all these different answers from different players. When the Brady Belichick Kraft story came out by Seth Wickersham and how much infighting there is, the wall was set up so great in New England that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady got those questions one time and it was over.
Yeah.
And it was done because to everybody else, they knew they weren't going to get the answer. Was the question asked? Yes. But the answer was the same by everybody. Mm-hmm. And they controlled the message that came out.
So as somebody that listens to us every day or listens to sports or watches it, is it more interesting for you to have interesting people like what the Pittsburgh Steelers do? Having the conversations in the media, seeing how, like I say, this, seeing how the sausage is made. Do you want to see behind the scenes? Do you like it when players have those outwardly spoken ideas? Do you like Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Michael Bennett, all having their quote-unquote own press conferences? Mm-hmm. Weird. Okay? Do you like those kinds of forums where those guys put themselves out there? And then I believe that there might be a chosen few of people that want their athletes just to perform on game day and don't need the kind of inside information, need that. We just perform, man. Just do what you kind of do. But I believe that we're in the more of the show me your brand, show me who you are on the inside, show me everything that you do off the field, because the field stuff is like, it's kind of good. That's good. You're a good player. But I want to see what you do outside of sports.
Yeah. And
outside of the locker room. There's too many other things that are way more interesting besides filming what you do with your wife and your kids and what your car looks like and your outside business ventures and what swimsuit you're going to wear and what your clothing's going to look like. And then, oh, by the way, oh, yeah, I guess you are a professional athlete. I guess you're kind of a pro sports guy.
This texter says, you know, I don't think he's advocating for never working hard. He's saying it looks like the Patriots aren't enjoying their success. And that, and that's kind of the to each his own. And that's why there's guys who work in New England and guys who have 1 year pit stops and are gone in New England, is because people want to enjoy the benefits of the successes that they have there. And it does kind of, it weeds people out in that way, in its own respect, the kind of Patriot way it does. It'll be interesting to see kind of how the attitudes change in Philly as their success continues and it grows. You know, if they go back to a Super Bowl, I would guarantee, or if they go back to the NFC Championship game or they're playing in multiple Super Bowls, they're going to get more guarded by nature, because when you start winning, the hit pieces will start coming out. They try to put a chink in the armor. And for Philly, it's something that they don't have to worry about right now.
Do you believe this? This person says, no real working class American gives a crap about what professional athletes complain about during their working career. I would argue against that. I think you really do give a crap, because you complain every time one complains. So you care.
Yeah.
You do, because your immediate reaction is, I'm not going to ever feel sorry for a pro athlete.
Yeah.
That's called caring, because you're trying to relate to them. Or trying to say, well, they have so many other things that we don't have. Well, that's just, that's the clad. There's, that's everywhere. Look down your road. Go to your neighborhood where one guy has more and the other guy doesn't. Do you drive by his house and put up a sign and say, you suck?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you, I mean, do you drive around rich neighborhoods and then put signs and protest outside their neighborhood? Or do you call for them to be fired? I don't know. It's very similar. You do care what pro athletes do.
To that texture. If that was the case, then nobody would care when a star player leaves their your favorite team.
So true.
You know? Like, if Damian Lillard were to pack up and leave and be like, I don't know.
LaMarcus Aldridge. Anybody upset?
Exactly. Like, LaMarcus Aldridge left town and was like, man, I'm glad to be out of Portland. No. Okay. There you go. You care when he leaves you. Boom. When he comes back to Moda Center.
Of course you do.
You know?
And then that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not invested in your sport, then what are you doing? I mean, what's the point of having a team? What's the point of being a fan?
What's the point?
No, that's a fair question. Isn't that a fair question?
It totally is.
I'm invested in every sports team I follow, from the Mariners to anybody that I'm invested.
Yeah.
And when somebody leaves, like Ken Griffey Jr. leaving, I was butthurt beyond belief.
Yeah. This is a good one, too. Spurs are the exact same way. They're the NBA version of what New England does.
That's exactly right.
But that isn't to say that, you know, if New England is Apple, where, you know, Apple is king and they do it the right way, you know?
There's no right way.
Well, no. Yeah. What we're deeming as the right way. They're guarded. They're closed. They don't. It's not a loose nature. It doesn't mean Google can't have success down the road, you know? And that's what Philly is right now. They, you know, Google has slides in their headquarters, and everything is fun and it's out there and you get to be there. It doesn't mean you can't have success going against the grain. And that's what Philly's doing right now.
Here's a good text too. It says, as a Patriot fan, I care about winning. All I care about is winning. The best way to win is how the Patriots are doing it. They don't give you the media anything because they don't want the distraction. And then P1 Splinter says, I love Aaron Rodgers because he lets you in a little bit of business.
I like that.
Just a little bit, because he just, you know, a little bit of business, but not too much. Mm-hmm. Keeps you guessing.
That's the other thing, though, is that Aaron Rodgers is one person on a roster in Green Bay that doesn't give you anything. You know?
Nothing.
Like, they give you nothing under Mike McCarthy, except for the one guy who can take it, who's Aaron Rodgers.
Relax.
553-05. That is the fan text line. And this texture goes, you know, this is the against the grain. Golden State seems pretty free to me with Steve Kerr. Steph Curry going out and speaking out against Draymond Green, says whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can't have success and long and sustained success. But like what the Patriots and what the Spurs have done have been kind of a tried and true proven way to do it.
I'll make my final point here.
Yeah, go.
You can say whatever you want when you're good. When you suck and you talk, that's the problem.
True that. Dame pulls a CJ, and Terry Stotts sent a consistent message. Dustin Cam on the fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.